Let's say you have a new job of interviews coming up. Because your current job is just plain miserable and it's grueling. Your boss is never satisfied with you. He's always picking on you, always on you. And also the benefit package and the retirement package is out of hell. And you're thinking, it sounds like my daytime job. The reason why you've been staying in this job all this time is because he pretty much owns you. Your boss owns you. The reason is you are completely bankrupt and he got you for it. The interview date finally arrived. The interview went very well and it was beyond belief. The new boss just loved you so much and hired you on the spot. Even though there's not a qualification, you're meeting what he's expecting. The benefit package and the retirement package is out of heaven. And you couldn't believe you got this job, you've been accepted. Not only he hired you on the spot, but also he told you and already pulled out the check and then put down the exact amount that you owe to your boss. And he said, I'm going to pay off your debt so you can come work for me. It's unbelievable. You couldn't believe your own ears. It's good to be true. So you went back to your old boss and say, sayonara, I'm leaving. And of course, your old boss cuss at you and then blurt out this nasty word. You're going to come back to me. You're going to crawl back to me. I'm going to get you back. See, of course, you know what I'm talking about. By now, you know that I'm talking about this is a kind of paraphrase portion of coming to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Your old boss and my old boss was Satan himself. While we were living for him, our life was filled with misery. Our life was filled with emptiness, hopelessness, and no joy. Oh yeah, there are time to time, there is some happiness because we got something new to play with for a while. We met somebody new for a while. But deep within our heart, when we didn't have a Jesus, we were empty. Deep within our heart, we did not have a hope because we didn't have Jesus. The life within us without Jesus Christ is hopeless. Now it's not only the hopeless, it's insecure. Now we have our future secured. Old boss, Satan, is not that easy to give up to their people. He enticed you and me with a never-ending temptation, and he threatened us with a doubt, and making us to think that, well, God's not going to meet our need the way we want, or the way we like to have. In the middle of this Christian journey, there are times we actually think about going back to the old boss. And I think because somehow we think about this good old time. Is it really good old time? No, it's not. It's like the 2 million people came out from the Egypt. And they exodus from the Egypt, and while they're wandering around the wilderness for 40 years, constantly they were coming back to Moses and saying, well, we wish we go back to Egypt. Lick and onions, garlic and all that food and meat. And do we really want to go back to the old lifestyle? We have to ask ourselves. It's like we're activating this temporary selective amnesia. We forget about all the bad time and only remember fun time. And let me ask you this. Is there any fun, is there any pleasure in sin? You have to say yes. Bible says so. There's a pleasure in sin for a short while. But the consequences of that sin is so big, it overshadowed our pleasure. Folks, is it really worth going back? What are we going to do? Are we going to serve new boss, our God? Are we going to serve old boss, Satan? We cannot serve either one, both of them at the same time. We have to make up our minds. For the truth of the matter, whether people are like to admit it or not, we all serve somebody. I'm sure you, some of you old people, I know it's counting days, counting your date. Remember the Bob Dylan song, "You got to serve somebody." It's not a good song, but he said it and it is true. You got to serve somebody. Either it's a God or Satan. Let's stop there and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are most grateful that you saved us. You gave us the opportunity to see the truth, that open our heart, open our eyes, spiritual eyes, to see where we are and where we're going. You extend your mercy and grace toward us through Jesus Christ. You predestined us and you chose us. We didn't choose you. You chose us. Now we're asking you to reaffirm in our heart that we may serve you the rest of our lives, never to look back. As a matter of fact, let us burn that bridge completely and totally. Then we may serve you and worship you every day of our lives. As the psalmist said, the one thing that I desire, that I will seek, I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold beauty, to worship you, to honor you. And we also pray for our president and the lifting of the upcoming election. And we're asking you to put the hedge of protection for our troops and the uniformed personnel, law enforcement personnel, and firefighters, especially like our elder Merrill Simon and his crew, and Don Marion, who works for the force. Protect them, Lord, as they protect our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 15 of chapter 6, please. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Verse 1 through 14, Apostle Paul describes our new life in Christ Jesus in terms of dying and raising from the dead. He used the illustration of baptism. Here, but in verse 15 through 23, he's communicating to us a different truth. Here is the absurdity of the using grace as a license to sin. And he's using illustration of slavery. What he's saying is that the lifestyle of habitual sin is not compatible. Habitual sin is not compatible with one whose life is changed by the grace of God. I'm not talking about sin we struggle with in day-to-day basis. I'm talking about habitual and willingful sin. Our God's way leads to love and righteousness and eternal life. There's absolutely no reason why we should sin against God except we have this craving desire because we still have this carnal mindset, craving for the carnality. That is where our spiritual battle rage. Let's go. Keep your finger in chapter 6 of Romans and go to the Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew 26, verse 41. If you're not familiar with the Bible, that's okay. That's the reason why we memorize Bible Index. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Verse 41. This is what Jesus is saying. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we are going to talk about how we are going to guard our flesh. Let's go back to chapter 6, verse 16 in Romans. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave who you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Whomever and whatever you present yourself to obey, you become a slave. We may not have the carved and the molded image that we worship nowadays, but yet we have these invisible idols in our lives. Whether it can be your job, it can be your spouse, it can be your money, or even ministry. One very important thing is that we cannot forget that even the good things cannot replace our God. Anything replace God, as I said before many times, is becoming idol in our lives. Let me make an emphasis on this phrase. God wants the intimate relationship from you. God wants intimate relationship from you more, far more than your service to Him. In other words, He rather have you just talking to Him, loving Him, following Him with all your heart. Then you serve Him day in, day out without loving Him. If that's the case, He can just make a robot out of His Word and have those robots to get the job done. They will do a better job than we all combined together. Don't think that God is somehow lacking in getting things done. He doesn't even need this robot. As a matter of fact, He can just do it without any problem. I made this illustration, but this is a good illustration, so I will repeat it. When my daughter was little, she wanted to help me constantly. One time I was trying to get the brownie point from my wife, so I got this gift and wrapping this gift. And she was like a 3 or 4. She asked me, "Can I help you?" I said, "Sure." And make her to hold a certain piece of paper and make her to think that that's making a difference. And after I wrapped everything, and I said, "I couldn't do it without you." And she was beaming. Did I need her help? No, I didn't. Does God need our help? No, He doesn't. But He allows to be a part of His master plan. To be part of Him. We are, after all, we are His children. Making us to be part of His family members. He wants us to be involved in His life. Service is not that important to Him. But our heart is important to Him. According to Paul, Apostle Paul, we only have two choices. Either we serve sin, which leads to the death, or we can serve Christ in obedience that leads to eternal life. The word of Jesus echoes in the background of the Apostle Paul. Let's go to Matthew 6, please. Matthew 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, verse 24. I love to hear that page flipping sound. It reads, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." In this case, mammon, the money, is just representation of Satan. Because whoever is person serving the mammon, the money, to him, that is an idol. Jesus wasn't saying about money was evil, but he was saying that we cannot equally devote God to God and we our own appetite for the material things. The same exclusivity applies here. We serve either Christ or something or someone else. Let's move down to verse 17. The God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that formed doctrine. Would you underline the word doctrine, please? To which you were delivered, verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. In these two verses, I believe Apostle Paul just summed up the effect of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know who our new master is, Jesus Christ, God, our Savior. We have heard the gospel which Apostle Paul mentioned in the form of teaching. And the trust in Christ, and we came to know Him, and gave our souls to Him, and we receive eternal destination in heaven. That means Christ rescued us from the cruel reign and mastery of sin of our lives, brought us under His new and ravishing and loving relationship with us. In verse 17, it says that obey from the heart. There's a great difference between compliance and obedience. Compliance is what's happening when your children is mad at you because they don't get their way, but they're still doing things what you tell them to do. Because they're complying. It's doing something without heart. But obedience is doing it with willingness and love. God wants us to be obedient to Him, not just comply to Him. Let's talk about this doctrine. Doctrine, somehow, rigid sound, doesn't it? Let's be honest. Doctrine sounds like that's something it's ivory tower thing. When I was young in the Lord, 21 years ago, somehow I was influenced by these charismatic teachers. And I was learned not to like doctrines. I was plain ignorant. Somehow I thought that Christianity does not need doctrine. That's far from the truth. And I was trained by them that spontaneous praise and worship is far more important than learning the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I still don't have a problem with spontaneous prayer and praise. However, if that's the only thing you get, then we have a major problem. Let me put it in our term. Praise, spontaneous praise and prayer is like having a dessert. That's like a dessert. What am I talking about? How would you like to have nothing but the dessert? And then you say, no, I don't have a problem. Yeah, me neither. When it's sweet things, yeah, I have a sweet tooth. So I don't have a problem either. But if that's all I eat, day in, day out, guess what kind of problem I have? I have a nourishment problem. If I eat in the morning, I eat the ice cream, and then in the afternoon, I have a chocolate chip cookie, and at night, I have a big chocolate cake, and nothing else. How would you like to have your children have nothing but the sweet, starting with the Monster and the Mountain Dew, and the rest of the day is nothing but the sweet? They will fly around the wall. Same thing. If we have nothing but this kinds of diet, dessert diet spiritually, we would fly around a spiritual wall and not get fed. Folks, doctrine is meat and potato, of course, green thing. I know that ladies like that kind of thing. It's a good nourishment combination. We need that. We need a full, balanced meal. The doctrine is the cat let's try again. Didache in Greek. D-I-D-A-C-H-E. Didache in Greek. It means teaching. If you're going to ignore the blueprint when you build a house, your house will not come together because one side might be longer than the other side. And you're thinking, how did it happen? Well, you didn't have a blueprint to start with. Teaching is the blueprint. This Word of God is a blueprint. You cannot ignore the blueprint of Christianity and thinking that you're going to be well fed. Christian doctrine is that important that we need to learn and to cherish. Let's go to Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, 105. Longest chapter in the Bible. I'm sure this is something you already know. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Did you notice something? It does not say it is a beacon. It does not say that one of those fancy tactical lights goes about 2 miles down the road. It's a lamp and a lantern. That means you barely show you where you're going. That's all God wants you to know. And the rest of them, He wants you to trust Him. Many churches in our country wants to teach Jesus light. Jesus light. Doesn't that look like some Bud Light logo? They want to teach people Jesus light, the lighter version of Christianity. That's why they want to ignore some of the truth. This done by the pastors and leaders of psychosensitive church, and they don't want to bog down the truth that demand the change of the people's carnal lives, including sleeping together before marriage, fornication, adultery. All of that is a kind of winked at. All of that is kind of set aside. The idea of their psychosensitive church is encouraging people how to get along within the family. Folks, give them Jesus. Have a Jesus in your heart. Then you will have, I guarantee you, you will encourage other people. You will get along with other people. Basic first, not the band-aid. First thing first. How are we going to have that kind of truth unless we learn, unless we have a doctrine in our heart? So do not ignore doctrine. Doctrine is good. I was wrong. I was not trained properly by the Bible teachers in my early days. Let me make it clear. Some of you might think that, well, you're saying that because you're a Calvary Chapel pastor, because Calvary Chapel loves the Word of God. First of all, John chapter 1:1. Let's go there. I know this is not in the sermon note outline, but it is so important. John chapter 1, verse 1. And we'll read that portion. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shined in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Who do you think we are talking about Him here? Jesus. So what we are reading is reading the voice of Jesus. We are listening to the voice of Jesus. How can you ignore this and just praise Him? How can we praise Him without knowing Him? So it becomes the praise and the worship and the prayer to Him without the Word of God is nothing more than ritual, and it's just things you do in the church. It cannot be done that way. So Don't think that you're going to get the Jesus light in here. We get Jesus heavy here. And if you want a kind of Jesus lifestyle, this is not your church. Go find somewhere else. I'll give you the whole truth. Meat and potato and green stuff too. And the dessert, yes. Verse 19. I speak in the human tongue because of the weakness of your flesh. For the just as you present your members, on the line, members, please, as a slave of the uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. As far as I can tell, everybody wants to be free here. Nobody wants to be a slave to anyone. And that's why they said, I am the captain of my own fate. And nobody tell me what to do. Well, even that person is a slave of God or most likely Satan, whether he like to admit it or not. Whether people would like to admit it or not, if that person, unless that person is born again, that person is a slave of Satan. Just does not know about it. I didn't know, you didn't know. But when we become a born-again Christian, we chose to become a slave of righteousness in Christ Jesus. And you say, why would I want to do that? If I was a slave of slavery, of Satan, and I got set free by Jesus Christ, I'll become a slave of God? Number one, we are set free and we become a slave of God because we need Him. He doesn't need us, we need Him. We need to be below, we need to be a part of Him. And we have a choice to become His slaves, His servant. However, is that the kind of slave that we were before? It's not the same kind of slave. Unlike the earthly masters, Jesus is a different master. The Father accepted these slaves of His as His own, as adopted heir with Jesus Christ. Let's go to John chapter 15, 15. John chapter 15, 15. It reads, no longer do I call you servant, for servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friend, for all things that I heard from my master I have made known to you. In other words, he doesn't call us slave or servant. When we come to know Jesus Christ, we become what? His friend. It's equal level. Let's go to Romans 8:17. Back to Romans and move a couple chapters. 8:17. And if children, then the heirs of God, the joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, then we may also be glorified together. This thing applies to us. We are joint heir with Jesus Christ, and we will be glorified with Him in heaven. The proper understanding of a member, I ask you on the line, members, they don't consider it as another person, but it's rather consider it as a part of your body. Exact meaning is a limb of your body. That's the definition in Greek. The limb of your body. In other words, do not use your part of your body as a slave of sin. Like in this case, if you're involved with somebody who is not your spouse, then you're using sexual organ as a slave of sin. If you're getting into pornography, then you're using your eyes and brain as a slave of your sin. If you hurt somebody, you're using your brain and your hand as a slave of sin. The longer we are enslaved to sin, the more enslaved to sin we become. We deteriorate morally. But once we are set free from the sin and set apart to God as a slave of righteousness, instead of deteriorating, we progress. We progress and we grow in Christ-likeness. That's the goal, folks. Christ-likeness. This is known as a process of sanctification. Again, keep your finger where you are and move a couple books, a few books, and go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. Galatians 6, 8. For he who sows to the flesh and will of the flesh reaps corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You sow to the wind, you reap whirlwind, the Bible says. Remember the opening illustration? Can you imagine you got a new job, you have all this great benefit? Why wouldn't the world would we go back to the old boss during our lunchtime, ask him, is there anything I can do for you? That's like when we sin against God. When we have this great relationship with the Father in heaven, saying, oh, I'm going to go back to my old life and I'm going to commit sin. So how are we going to remain in God instead of running back to our old boss, Satan? Bible will make it very clear to us. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. If you have a Bible, turn it, please. This is so important. 1 Corinthians 10 and 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. If you do this, you won't sin. It's that good. Okay? I guarantee. No, Word of God guarantees it. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down the stronghold, casting down the argument, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Here's the punchline. Note that, please. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In the NIV, it says that we take a captive of every thought to make it obedience to Christ Jesus. I cannot overemphasize this. As long as we take a captive of our thought, action will not happen. I know some of us heard it from our mom, you never think what you're doing. Well, but we still think. So if we take a captive of our thought, we don't have to worry about the consequences. Let's go back to the verse 20. For when we were slaves of sin, which on the line next phrase, please, you were free in regard to righteousness. Apostle Paul is kind of being sarcastic here. Apostle Paul reminds us that we had when we were slaves to sin, what we had when we were slaves to sin. We were without true freedom and righteousness. We were spiritually dying. Spiritually dying. Good example of that is prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. He enjoyed everything that he had when he was with his dad. But somehow he thought he didn't have a freedom. So he decided to leave father's place with the father's inheritance in advance. He took off. Yeah, he got a lot of friends who leached on him and used his money. When he ran out of money, guess what? He ran out of friends too. He became a slave of the Gentile and feeding the hog. You might say he was in the hog heaven. what the good Jewish boy is doing in the feeding the pig. Because he went against the Father's will. Folks, when we go against Father's will, that's what happened to us. This young man didn't think about the consequences. All he can think about is right now. Isn't that typical? Sin makes us stupid. He lost the freedom. But when he came to sense, while his feet was still inside of the pigsty, he came back to sense. He thought about going back to Father, and he did. When he went back to Father, he found the true freedom. Let's move down to verse 21. But what fruit did you have then in the things of which you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, having become the slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, the everlasting life. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the old life, we produced the fruit that made us to be shamed. But now we are in Christ Jesus, our fruit glorifies and bring joy to our lives if we do what he says. Folks, note that verse 23 says, for the wage of sin is death. That is a deserved payment. But the gift of God, that is an undeserved gift, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death is a wage rightly paid for the life of sin. A physical death occurred because we live in the world contaminated by Adam's and Eve's sin, original sin. Spiritual, eternal death awaits those who remain in that situation. But that's what we deserve. But God gave us what we don't deserve, free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Let's make one application. After the Israelites conquered the promised land, Joshua gathered all the people at the end of his life, and he kind of sums up all the things happened, the history, highlight the history up to that point from Abraham. And then he said this famous word, and a lot of you have this at your home. You have it in the doormat, you have it in the rug, you have it in the coffee mug. It comes from Joshua 24:15. Joshua 24:15 says, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. As for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua has discovered the same thing that Paul writes about the centuries later. You got to serve somebody. No one is completely free, and not in the sense of being absolutely independent from authority and or control. We will either love and serve the true God, or we will serve whatever God that makes for ourselves. False image, ambition, desire, money, or even ourselves, which is nothing more than extension of Satan. So ask yourself, be honest with yourself, because God knows your heart, whom you're going to serve. So whose slave are you? Let's stand up and pray.